Why don't you open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel? And we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 9 today. And the theme of today's message is greatly loved. Go ahead and just say that, greatly loved. Greatly loved. That's the theme of today's message and the sermon title, Greg, if you're looking for one. Greatly loved. In reading through the book of Daniel, I am often astonished. I love the stories in there. They're stories of faith and stories of faithfulness and courage under fire. And I see the hand of the Lord and the presence of God manifested there. And I also see visions of the Lord in the book of Daniel. In fact, the vision that Daniel has of Jesus in Daniel chapter 9 is very similar in ways to the vision that John the Apostle has on the island of Patmos. Yeah, which is why we're looking at the book of Daniel today, because as you know, we've been studying the book of Revelation together. And as you know, we've been looking through the seven letters to the seven churches, and I continue to do that on Wednesday nights for those of you who want to be in on that study. I've taken a long time to get through stuff, but there's just so much in there, and I can't gloss over it. You've got to mine it for all it's worth, right? Yeah. And we're digging in deep and finding awesome things in there that encourage the heart. But today, I wanted to branch off from the letters to the seven churches just because the theme worked with Valentine's Day, so it was kind of cute, you know, greatly loved, seems to work with Valentine's Day. And so I thought, well, maybe you guys would remember that, especially if I gave you chocolates as well. But actually, when I read through the book of Daniel, this is the one thing that sticks with me every single time. I can't get away from it. Because of all the things that happen in the book of Daniel, this is the one thing I want to happen to me more than anything. So let me read to you from Daniel chapter 9. And I want to read from verse 20. I'll give you some context after we've read. But verse 20 says this: "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, 'O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.'" Again, moving from there to the next chapter, chapter 10. In verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude." Who does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like Jesus? It sounds very similar to the passage in Revelation chapter 1. Now, I'll just say this. There's no part of this that explains who this person is, because until Jesus was manifested, the Word made flesh in the days of Augustus, until that time, his identity was a secret. If there is a Christophany in the Old Testament, in other words, an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ, it's a mystery. Because for the Jewish people, there is one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And so for the idea that God has a son, this is a perplexing thought. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that and explain how that all works. The mystery of the Trinity or our Trinitarian theology and understanding of God is, well, it's complicated, and it's difficult to try and explain that one can be three and three can be one. But we take it on faith, for we know that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So we know this. If Jesus is in fact resurrected from the dead, then it proves that what he said was true. And if what he said was true, then he and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit emanating from the Father and from the Son make it three, and the three are one. And this Trinitarian doctrine has been the long-standing accepted doctrine of the church since the very beginning. So, for this passage in Daniel to definitively say, this is the Son of God that you're seeing, would be anachronistic. There's a $60 word, or a 60-point word if you're playing words with friends, right? Anachronistic, which means before its time. It's not in the right context of time. But Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And from the very beginning, before there was a beginning, Jesus was. Before Abraham, I am, he says. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Before there was a beginning. In the beginning of creation, Jesus was with God, uncreated, eternally with him. Now, all of that to explain that this is probably a Christophany. It's probably a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus, our glorious Jesus, but not the man who walked the shores of Galilee, but the one who will ride upon the white horse, upon whose thigh is written faithful and true, the one who will come to destroy all the works of Satan and to cast into the eternal flames death and hell and the accuser of the brethren. This is that Jesus. And this is what he says. It says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. And so I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed. I wonder how he knew that his radiant appearance was fearfully changed. And I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. I think that word deep sleep, those words deep sleep, probably mean I fell as one dead. Something which John the Apostle also says after seeing Jesus. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. See that? Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, I want to make a suggestion here, and that is that Daniel, in his prayer, received an answer from the throne of God, first at the hand of Gabriel, the archangel. But then, because he persisted in prayer, the archangel was not enough. He needed to hear from the very throne of God. And so God himself showed up. Amen. There's an idea hidden up in this that occurs to me. That we can ask God for things, to try and understand, for restoration for our nation or for our community. Because we read the signs of the times and we recognize that this ought to be the time when something ought to be happening according to God's promise, and we contend with God for the fulfillment of his promises, we can receive an answer from the throne of heaven through one of God's ambassadors. But it appears to me that in the persisting of prayer, Daniel had an encounter with Christ, which is way before his time. It's going to be some 500 years before Jesus is going to appear. It's a little bit more than that, in fact. The time here is probably somewhere between 520 and 517 BC. And Jesus, as we know, appears on the scene, is born somewhere in the 10 years prior to the turn of the first millennium. Somewhere around 6 BC, Jesus is born. I know, the calendar is a little off. That's okay. It's some 500 years before Jesus is actually going to show up. But he meets with Daniel, because Daniel is greatly loved. God begins to show Daniel things that are not yet, but that will come. He begins to give him a foretaste of the promises that Daniel has sought for. He has given himself to praying about. He has fasted and gone before the Lord with this passion in his heart to know and to pray on behalf of his people. And God responds with his presence. Because the message isn't good enough. Do you ever find yourself looking for answers from God? You have his word in front of you. And you have an encouragement from his word, but it's not doing it for you. Something in that, there's still this place of, is that really for me? Can I really take that promise for myself? I'd like to tell you that I believe God wants to confirm in your heart and in mine that he is intimately acquainted with us and he loves us. And he loves us more than we understand. And I believe that many of us don't press through to the confirmation that God has for us because we give up. But God wants to give you his confidence. He wants to let you know that you don't need to fear. God wants to give you a word. And the word that Daniel received, by all means, he heard about the future. He heard about what God was going to do. And he wrote these things down, and they have become for us a sign that God speaks a thing before it happens. It proves that God is who he says he is. And yes, that is absolutely amazing. The prophetic gift that Daniel was given and the insight that he was given are absolutely amazing. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing in this passage that I want more than any of it, I don't need to know what's going to happen in all the universe. But one thing I want to know, if Jesus shows up in a vision, in my prayer time, there's one thing I want to hear. Son, I have come because you are greatly loved. I read these verses and I think, God, could you say that to me? And then the Lord taps me on the shoulder and he says, hey, son, I already did. I already did. And then I start rehearsing my life and how it was that God came so unexpectedly into our lives. I think about my personal journey of faith and about how unlikely it is that I should know him and how much more likely it is that I should live a life that is the sum total of my parents' mistakes and my grandparents' mistakes and my own mistakes. And yet I'm not living that. I'm not living as the statistic. I'm not living as the offspring of rebellion against God. I have been shown grace and mercy. I have been rescued. I've been lifted from poverty to sufficiency. I've been given so much. And the Lord says, what do you need me to show you to prove to you that you are greatly loved? And I cry out to him and I say, Lord, I just want to hear you say it. And he says, well, haven't you heard? Haven't you seen? Didn't you read? Did you read John 3:16? For God so loved the world. And then I say, yes, I know you love the world. I know no greater love is any man than this. I know these things. I know that you love us. I know that we are called. I know. But do you love me? Do you love me? So I search into Daniel's life and I think, well, maybe if I can mimic Daniel's life, maybe if I can do the things that Daniel did, maybe God will show up and say the same words to me. Come on, I'm not the only one. You guys do exactly the same thing. You look at someone whose life is significantly blessed and you say, let me live just like that person. Maybe I'll get the same blessing. But you know, God does different things for different people. And he reaches us all on different levels. And he speaks a language which each of us know in our heart. Remember when we read through what Jesus said to the church in Pergamum? Remember the last little line that he said to them was that if they are victorious, if they conquer, he'll give them a white stone with a new name written on it that only they know and God knows. There's that personal touch that he promises to those who overcome. You know why he promises that? I'll tell you why. It's because deep down inside, every single one of us yearns for this word to be spoken over our lives, that we are greatly loved. And yet we feel so disqualified from that, don't we? You sit there right now and you think, oh, well, yeah, that Daniel. I mean, that guy, Daniel in the lion's den, right? There's a guy who didn't deny Christ under the severe pressure. And he was an old man at the time, too. Here's a guy who lived his whole life in firm dedication to the ways of God. Of course, Daniel is greatly loved by God. But could God love a sinner like me? It's one of the reasons I love that show, that new Bible show about Jesus?
Chosen.
The Chosen. Have you guys seen that? Boy, I do love that. I love that because for some reason it just points out the personal touch of Christ for every single one of those characters in the Bible that we've read, and we sort of gloss over their story, but it gives us a little holy imagination to what it might have been like for them to receive a personal touch from the Lord. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. So there was someone else there too. It looks like one of the other angels was there. And behold, and then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the visions, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. An encounter with the God who loves us ought to leave us in this condition. Not proud, not arrogant, not self-assured, but literally unable to breathe. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Three times Daniel receives this message from the Lord. O man greatly loved. Three times, that's a completion, isn't it? That's supposed to show us that he truly is greatly loved. It wasn't just once he heard this message. He heard it three times. I'd like to suggest that God wants to speak that over your life today, right here, right now, that you are greatly loved. I don't think there's any more empowering words that can be spoken over any of us. I don't think there's anything that can break the chains like those words can break the chains. I don't think there's anything that can destroy fear like those words can destroy fear. If we are loved by God, my brethren, bring it on. Bring on the world and all that it can throw against us. If we are greatly loved by God, how can we know for sure? Randy, how can you know that you are loved by God? I don't know that God is going to send Jesus to us in the middle of a vision to give us those words, but if he needs to, he will. I told you guys online about a dream I had. I think last week, if anybody was listening, I told you that story. Was it last week or the week before? About a vision that I had in which the Lord put his arms around me and just loved me after he showed me how he created the universe. It was kind of a crazy dream. And I had the same sort of response. I felt like I was going to die because I'd just seen God. Oh, may we never forget these encounters that we have with the Lord. But my brothers and my sisters, Jesus did say this to us, blessed are those who believe without having seen. And I want to encourage you today to take this word deep into your heart that you also are a man or a woman greatly loved by God. Let that settle all of your identity issues. Let that settle all the fears and the anxieties, all the striving, all the needing to become something or somebody. Just know that you are already greatly loved. I think Daniel, in crying out to God for an answer, was probably going through the same wrestling that we do. God, where are you? Where is the answer? If surely, Lord, you haven't abandoned us, where are you? And the answer to his prayer was delayed. It was delayed the first time with Gabriel. It was delayed this time when the Lord himself came. He explains, you can read the passage for yourself, 3 weeks Daniel prayed, but the answer only came later. And the answer that was given to him was, my delay does not equal not loving you. My delay is because of circumstances beyond your control. I'm at war, and I was fighting on your behalf. And as soon as the opportune moment came, I rushed right here to let you know that you are greatly loved. Listen, God is not absent from your life. He is present. You hear me? Those of you who are online, listen to me right now. God is not absent from your life. He is present. He's closer than the air that you breathe. The Lord is not unaware of your struggle. He's not unaware of your difficulty. And if it seems that the answer to your prayer is delayed, this does not mean that God does not love you. You hear me? Take this, Alicia, take this home to your family. Take this message home to your family. They are greatly loved by God. Jesus died on that cross to prove to us how much we are greatly loved. Daniel didn't have the cross yet, and he needed a word in advance. We have the cross, the eternal word, the final word that God has spoken in Christ Jesus. He has proved once and for all that he loves you with an everlasting love. Tian, take it home in your heart, my girl. You are greatly loved by God. You are greatly loved by God. That is your identity. That's who you are. Remember that song we love to sing about good, good Father? I am loved by you. It's who I am. That's how the words of the song go. Those weren't just some words quickly penned by, you know, some guy who thought, oh, this is a cute idea. Let's do that. No, those are words of eternal truth. The Lord loves you. It's who you are. You are loved by him. You are loved by him. As we wrap up today, I just want to say, over the last 3 days, my family knows I've struggled through some really deep emotions. At first, I didn't know what it was. On Thursday, I said to my family, I feel like a heaviness on me that I can't shake, and I don't know what it is. And then on Friday night, I heard the news about a prominent ministry and a man who impacted the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who had passed away at some point last year. And the ministry issued a statement apologizing for his moral failures, which independent investigators hired by the ministry have now revealed to not be fables and lies, but actually the truth. And the ministry, in an effort to bring healing to those who have been affected by the immorality, issued this open letter. And I got to say, it hit me in the solar plexus. And then followed through with a punch to the face. And all day yesterday, I wrestled with that. How can we stand if someone so great falls? What strength have we when someone with such great gifting and anointing can deceive? What hope have we? This morning on the way into church, my mother sent me a message. One of the preachers who was formative in my life as a teenager, a great man of God who pastors a large ministry in South Africa now. And she sent me the message, his message from this morning. And she said, just dial in to minute 58 and just listen. And so these words were incredibly encouraging to me. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to play the words from his sermon. And let them be an encouragement to you as well. I haven't listened to his whole message, but the context of his message was the siege of Jerusalem by Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Do you guys remember that story? And how he surrounded Jerusalem and said to Hezekiah and the king's officers, and in the sound of all the people who gathered on the wall, they had no hope. No kings or no kingdoms anywhere had been able to stand against them, and if greater kings had fallen, then what hope did they have? And my preacher friend pulled something out of that message, which I think I want to play for you as an encouragement during this time. I want you to know that God does not love us because of our gifting. And God does not stop loving us because we fail. There's disappointment. But the love doesn't stop. We are greatly loved by God. So much so that he was willing to pay the price. Let that not be an encouragement for you to continue in sin, by no means. But let it be a silencer for the accuser who comes against us on all levels to tell us that we are not loved. My phone is in the front pocket of that. Thank you. God's gifts are without repentance, right? The Bible says he gives them. When he gives a gift, he doesn't take it back. What do we do that with that gift? Well, that's an important thing. Okay. Now, this man has a thick African accent. So I'm hoping that you guys can figure it out. So put on your interpretive hats and listen to this message for just a few minutes.
And when we look at our weaknesses and we look at the condition that we are confronted with, we begin to doubt that anything good will emerge out of this. And I'm saying to you, whatever Sennacherib has released as an attack into your life, God is bigger than the attack of Sennacherib in your life. Sennacherib paralyzes strategically those who are positioned in particular areas of influence so that he can weaken the resolve of people who are looking at their role models. He damages those who are role models. What was happening here? Those who were at the forefront, those who were at the walls of Jerusalem, those who were exposed to look at the army of the Assyrians, those who were exposed to bring the message to say, this is Sennacherib. He has attacked, he has surrounded our city. Those who were supposed to be bringing messages were the first ones who were attacked by the pomp of Sennacherib. In other words, he is raising people who are going to emerge as examples. He will expose you to people that he has damaged already. And he would say, this person seemed to have carried more talent than you. This person seemed to have carried more giftings than you. If I have damaged that person, do you think that you will be a match? In other words, he is bringing his own examples and he is exposing you to those examples so that when you look at those examples, it generates fear within you. But I'm here to make you know that it doesn't matter what is surrounding the walls. It doesn't matter where the other messages are coming from. God today is talking to you. He says, fear not, my child, for I am with you. I am saying to you, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should fear no evil, for the Lord God Almighty, he is with you. If I had more time, I would go on and say, don't allow the messages of Sennacherib to weaken your resolve. Decide, child of God, once and for all, and say, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I smell. I will stand like the four Hebrew boys. I will stand like three Hebrew boys. Even when I see the furnace, even when I see lions, everywhere that I'm surrounded, it is negativity. I will stand and I will stand on my resolve. It says, even when the Lord will deliver me or the Lord shall not deliver me, I will never quit this way. This is the way that I've chosen, that I will follow the Lord. I'm talking to only one person here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the young people who were saw the fire stoking, but they stood their grounds. Stand today in this dispensation and say, I will not fear the fire of Nebuchadnezzar. Am I talking to someone right now? I say, I will not fear even the lions that have been unleashed.
Amen.
God is bringing this message to you today. God is saying, fear not. You know what you are going through. You know your situation. Nobody has understudied your situation better than you have done it. And God is saying to you, fear not. It is just an intimidation. It is like dark clouds that are in the sky. These dark clouds, they shall move. And the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Healing is coming your way. I'm talking to someone. Resolve is coming your way. Breakthrough is coming your way. God is about to show up in your life. God is greater than the circumstances that you are going through. I want to leave you with this notion today that God Almighty has done it for Abraham. He's done it for Hagar. He did it for Moses and his contingents. He has done it for Solomon. He did it for Mary. He did it for Paul. They received the same message that I'm bringing to you. The message that says, fear not. God bless you.
Let's pray. Abba, there is no greater force to drive away fear than to know that we are greatly loved. Surely you have spoken this over each and every one of us. And today we hear your word and we receive it. Jesus, you are great. And you are greater than every lie. My sword in every fight will be your word, and I will stand fast on that word, and I will not be moved. We will not be moved. Abba, I pray your grace and your blessing over this fellowship today and over all those who are listening online. Thank you for these words of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for the statement that you've made. Fear not, you say. Lord, touch us, strengthen us. We cannot even stand without you strengthening us. Lord, may we stand steadfast and sure, and may we declare, we will not be moved. In Jesus' name, amen.